In congregation, this week is Holy Week. We will commemorate the Passion of Christ, and next Sunday we will celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. However, because of this pandemic, the order to quarantine will continue until April the 30th instead of April 17th, like it was announced before. Therefore, our church will worship God together via online video, until there might be improvement in the future about the current situation. The congregation, the situation of this pandemic continues to increase. The quarantine order from our local government become more and more serious. From the report of the World Health Organization right at the time of this recording, at the moment there is about 1,200,000 cases of coronavirus, and there are 64,236 deaths. The U.S. is leading the world in the number of cases of contracting the virus. Today, there are more than 300,000 cases of contracting the virus, and more than 8,000 deaths in the U.S. Spain and Italy seems like are competing for second and third places in the world for the number of cases. Germany is taking the fourth place, and France is in fifth, and this is pushing China into the sixth place of all the deaths of this coronavirus cases. In this unsettling situation, worries, fear, and sadness pervades our mind. I'd like to invite you to listen to the Word of God today, so that we can find comfort and encouragement in His Word. Our Bible lesson for today is titled, Experience God in Challenging Times. The scripture verses we will learn today is in Psalm 46, verse 1 through 11. The key verse for today's lesson is found in Psalm 63, verse 3. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. Let's all read together this key verse. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. To study together the Word of God in today's lesson titled, Experience God in Time of Trouble or in Challenging Time, we'll invite you to follow the message. The key verse in Psalm 63 says, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. There is something more precious than life that this verse 3 has mentioned. That is the love of God. Last week, there's a program on GodTV.com. It's a story about a doctor named Julian Irwin. He is an atheist in Italy. While helping with the coronavirus patient, he recognized that he has to pray about his work because of the pandemic in the region that he is working in Italy. Dr. Julian Irwin is 38 years old and is working in the city called Bologna in Italy. And he has recounted all the things that have happened in the past few weeks. He said even in his darkest bedrooms, he could not even imagine whatever has happened and what he had witnessed in the past few weeks in his town of Bologna in Italy, in the hospitals in Italy as well. The tragedy continues day after day and continues to expand. How could it be that the disease of a few patients could spread over hundreds of patients? He said that at this time, they are no longer doctors, but they are to make a very difficult decision to see who will live or who will go home to face death, although each citizen all their life is paying tax for the medical care of the whole Italian population. Your congregation, just because of this pandemic, the doctors are doing something that is against their conscience, but they are facing a situation that they have to make a decision. But there is a special event that did happen. That is, a pastor, 75 years old. He was admitted to the hospital 9 years ago, and he brought with him a Bible so he can read the Word of God. Holding hand of each patient in the hospital, he read the Word of God to them. Dr. Julian said that all the doctors were very tired and disappointed, both in body and mind. And during that time, that was the time we listened to the word of God from that pastor. All the doctors have reached their limits and they can do nothing more. Patients are dying around us and we're so very tired. Two of our co-workers have died and other has contracted the virus. At that point, Dr. Julian and his co-workers recognized that they need God. They have accepted God. They have prayed to receive Christ into their heart. He has witnessed that as they were talking among each other during that time, they could not even believe that they once were very strong atheists, but now they are asking God for peace and strength to continue to help the patients that contracted the coronavirus. After that, Dr. Julian notified that the pastor of 75 years old that was admitted before had now passed away. Dr. Julian said that in the past 3 weeks, there are about 120 patients died, but he and his co-workers are still alive. The pastor has managed his time despite a dire situation to bring the word of God with a peacefulness into our midst. At the time when we all lost hope, Pastor is now with the Lord, and we think that sooner or later we will be with him if the present situation does not improve. Julian said that he has not been home for 6 days. He didn't even remember his last meal, and he recognized that he is useless in this time of trouble. He only wished that he would use his last breath to save others. This story is reminding us about a great encounter that is happening during this pandemic time. That our God, working behind the scene, the God that will allow people to experience God in a challenging time like these. From the Bible verses that we have read today, there are three topics that we can examine together through the passage in Psalm 46. The first is to experience His promise in the challenging times. The second is to experience His presence in times of trouble. The third is that to experience His power in this challenging time. We pray for the Word of God to touch our heart. Dear our Heavenly Father, we are living in a world of panic, full of suffering, pain, and death. But we have a living God, the one who can comfort and encourage each one of our heart, that can show us how to experience God in time of tragedies and difficult situations. We ask you, Lord, at this time to use your word to teach each one of us and lead us to experience your presence in the time of trouble. We thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear congregation, the first point I want to share with you is to experience God's promise in time of trouble. The first verse of Psalm 46 reads, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. A refuge is a hiding place where we will bring ourselves there in time of trouble. I remember back in time when I was in Vietnam during the war, the houses of the families where the wars occur have a hiding place underground to keep safe from the bombings. Our house back then also had a hiding place underground like that. My father had dug out an underground and used wood to strengthen the underground hiding place, and also used wood as an opening to that hiding place. And on top of that covering, he used grass to spread over the opening to imitate the natural ground. And any time there is an alarming signal, every family has to go down to that underground hiding place. When the alarming sound came, everybody from my family came underground hiding place. At that time, I was just a little kid. Sitting in that hiding place, my whole heart was pounding with fear, not knowing what was happening up on the ground. We may have seen similar things in this country on TV, that regions where there are often tornadoes, there are also hiding places underground. But we can see in the eyes of the people hiding there, fear and panic among the people hiding, while hiding underground like that. There are other places where there are strengthened rooms in public places to hide away from earthquake. Surely they can hide in those places, but their heart is filled with fear, because all those things are just temporary hiding place. But here, the Word of God says that God is our refuge and our strength. God is a refuge for whoever put his trust in God. We know that that refuge is a secure dwelling place because we know who God is. Our God is a great creator. He has brought this world, this universe, into being from nothingness. He created our universe just by His word. Let it be, and the world and the universe appear after His command. In the past few days, there may be some recommendations of how to fight the coronavirus. There are blogs that recommend about food that has a pH level above 6. That can help our immune system. For example, lime and lemon, avocados, or garlic, mangoes, oranges, or tangerines, or pineapples. All those things have a pH level very high. All can help the immune system of our body to fight against virus. Especially dandelions, whose pH level can be well above 22 points. Also, there have been recommendations about our quarantine practice, like washing of hands. There's a story about a doctor in New York. He has shared his experience like this. When I tell you these things, you hear my voice. It's not the voice of someone who is fearful, but it is the voice of someone who no longer has fear in his heart. He is Dr. Price, working in the ICU, the New York hospital. He said that his hospital capacity is 1,200 beds. Before this time, the hospital admit patients of all kinds, even surgeries. But now, his hospital is 100% dedicated to patients with coronavirus. Currently, this hospital is admitting about 20% of the patient contracting the virus in New York. His job is to take care of the patient that seriously contracted the coronavirus. Dr. Price is a person to decide which patient will receive the ventilator for breathing and how long that patient can remain in the ventilator. So now, as he recounts his experience during this time, he said that, "I can tell you that I no longer have fear." The reason for him to be able to say this is based on his own experience. He said that we have to know about the virus and we have to practice the washing of hands carefully. Pay attention to where our hands can touch which surface during the day. And to remember to wash our hands with sanitizer to make it clean. He said everywhere he go, he would take with him a bottle of Purell. From my apartment unit to the elevator, I had to push the button, so I used Purell to wash my hand before touching the button. When opening the doorknob outside of the elevator, I also had to use the Purell to clean my hands. That would prevent the coronavirus from attacking our body. He's also recommended to not touch our face with our hands. Not to touch our nose or our mouth, because those are the entering opening for the coronavirus to enter the body. He concluded his talk with a very short summary and recommendation. You only need to keep your hands clean and away from your face. That will prevent 99% of the chance of the coronavirus entering the body. When we heard these things, we might think that the coronavirus may not be that dangerous. But in reality, many doctors are fearful because they have been exposed to the virus on a daily basis when they take care of coronavirus patients. One of those doctors is a female doctor in Atlanta named Michelle Oh.
She is an anesthesiologist.
Her job is to put the breathing tube into the nose and mouth of the patient who is weakened in the breathing system. And because of this service to the patient, these doctors have a higher probability of contracting the virus because they are very close to the mouth of the patients. Should we need to use this breathing tube on the patient for 10 seconds, 20 seconds, or 30 seconds? The longer the time, the higher the probability of getting the virus. She said that this kind of practice may cause the virus to be onto her hair or her fingernails. Or the virus can transfer to her husband or her 3 children waiting for her at home. So, after the hospital, she has to take a shower to wash her hair and change her into clean clothes. And she has to use sanitizer to clean all the surfaces that she would touch, like the door of her car or the steering wheel on the driver's seat, and even her phone. Before this pandemic, these are things that inconvenience her, but now she recognizes this is the only way to protect her family from contracting the virus. Michelle said that even after she has sanitized herself, she still needs to sleep separate from her husband and children in the basement, while the other are sleeping in their own beds. In the past week, Michelle and her family has sit down to discuss about the will. They discuss the case of when both Michelle and her husband pass away, there are certain things that they want to make a decision for the children in the will. The first thing is that the children may go to her parents or to her husband's parents. Another option is to rely on the doctor because the grandparents are of old age and may contract the virus, and a doctor would help the children to survive. The fourth option is to rely on somebody like the head of the department who has fewer exposure to the coronavirus patients, to help children survive when they are no longer with them. Dr. John Marshall is an emergency doctor at the Medline Brooklyn Hospital in New York. To heal a gunshot wound seems to be easy, or someone is having a heart disease or a blood stain with virus is easier. But COVID-19 is a brand new virus that there is no way to prevent the doctors from contracting them. Dr. Marshall also has written a will in case he's no longer alive. Dear congregation, these stories are telling us depth of human's heart. They are still worried about times like these. Pastor Rick Warren also has written an article in there. He recommends that we do not too trusting on the story that we have heard. I just want to recommend to you that do not let these stories to bother you to cause fear and disappointment and so weaken your faith. Or to hear some good news stories from here or there that cause us not to rely on our faith and our God. Psalm 96 has been written by the descendant of Kore, saying that God is our refuge and our strength. He has a secure for us a refuge, and His strength will help us to take away the fear of our hearts. Not only does God provide a refuge for the believers, but all believers, God give them a peaceful heart. He is ready to help us in time of trouble. This is His heart, God's desire, God wishes for us. And His promise to us that He will help us in time of trouble is a promise to all the people of this earth. Do you ever have a feeling of a self-pity that we are too old or we are too young, not worthy for God to pay attention to? No, this promise is for you. Do you think that you are too rich for God or that we are too poor, nothing of value to God? But no, this is God's promise to you. Or we may think that our situation is more dire than the others. Still, this promise applies to you. You may face the difficulty situation lonely by yourself, but remember, this promise is for you also. It doesn't matter how serious or troubling the situation is with each person. Jesus, in Matthew 11:28, telling us with open arms that, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." The most important thing for us, from God's perspective, is that we have rest in our heart. "Take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." Dear congregation, God put His peace into our heart is the first thing, because this peace will set us free from the panic of this world that is surrounding us every single moment of the day. Verse 2 and 3 says like this, "Therefore we will not fear till the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging." The world around us keeps changing and causing confusions among the people. One disaster will come after another. But the Word of God in Psalms 46 tells us that if we have selected God, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. This is a faithful promise from our God. Dear congregation, in the passage in Psalm 46, we pay attention to some of the words that we did not read, like the word Selah from verse 1 through 3, and another from verse 4 to verse 7, another word Selah appear, and from verse 8 to 11, the word Selah appear at the end of verse 11. The Selah has a meaning of pause, so that when the congregation are singing the Psalms, when they get together, they have to pause. Why is there a pause in the middle of the song like this? Pause to let the mind to think about what they have just glorified God about. Pause to think about what they have offered to God. Pause to examine their own heart before the presence of God. And dear congregation, I want you to pause at this moment to examine our own heart before God. We just have shared and examined together the experience of God in the promise of God in Psalm 46. But the question is, have you come into the refuge that God has prepared for you yet? Or this is something that we just hear with our ears and not entering our heart? If our heart can recognize that God is our refuge, and we know that God also promised that He will be ever-present help in our trouble, and if not yet, we need to bow our head and pray to God, saying to God that, "Dear God, you are our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble." The second point I want to share with you is the experience of God's presence in the time of trouble. Verse number 4 of Psalm 46 says like this, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells." When the Bible talks about a city of God, that means Jerusalem, the holy city of God. By geography, there is no river in Jerusalem. The Babylonians can be proud of the river named Euphrates. The Egyptians may be proud of the Nile River. The Romans may be proud about the river Tibet. The Iranians may be proud of the river Anaba and Tarba in their country. But the Israel people has no such great rivers in their country except the small river named Jordan connecting the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea. But that river is way too small, and in Jerusalem there's no river. But here in verse 4, it reads, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells." So, what does it mean to have this river in the city of God? Dear congregation, the author of this song, Psalm 46, recognizes that the presence of God is truly a river in the city of God, flowing from the throne of God to everyone. The presence of God is a joy for the people living in the city. When there is God's presence, verse 5 reads, God is within her, the city, she will not fall. God will help her and break up day. Thanks be to God. Under His providence, under His control, God cares for all the people who live in that city. Those who have seen the TV series or movie Baywatch, there are guards that are watching over the beach area. They are keeping watch over the beach goers in case there is an emergency. They quickly take action to go out there and save the people who are drowning. But those guards has a limited view. They can only pay attention to a small portion of the beach where they are guarding. But the word of God in Proverbs chapter 15 verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. The eyes of the Lord are not just for a particular city or a particular region, but the eyes of the Lord are watching all over the world. The eyes of the Lord are keeping watch on the wicked as well as the good. Back to Psalm 46 verse 8, we read, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth. Dear congregation, in the past few weeks, among the topsy-turvy of this world, the nations are trying to extend their power over others. The political parties are vying for power. The private companies are fighting to show up their products and services, cutting down other companies' product. But when God speaks, the earth melts, as in verse 6. How did God speak recently? He is speaking through this pandemic in the past few months to silence the voice of everyone on this earth. During this time of pandemic, we do not hear nations vying for their power or their name. We do not hear nations proud about their military might. Other nations of this world, other people of this earth, concentrated on one thing, the fight against coronavirus. In Psalm 33, verse 12, we read, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear God. He will look upon those who call on His for mercy to save their soul from destruction and protect their life. Thanks be to God because He cares for the soul first and then He cares for our body as well. Dear congregation, maybe myself, or you may not face the coronavirus at this time. We may not have contracted this deadly virus in our body, but we still have peace in times of trouble like these. There still may be some unfortunate situation that happens to us in the future. Some sickness already present in our body, or may be a stray bullet somewhere hitting us, or perhaps an earthquake happening, or some other disaster, or maybe an accident from a car coming out of nowhere. And dear congregation, any of those things can happen to any of us at any time. And in those situations, how can we find peace? How do we feel the presence of God in those situations? Dear congregation, in the past week, you may have heard of a Vietnamese actress named Mai Phu, 35 years of age. She has passed away after 2 years fighting the lung cancer. And at 7:30 on March 28, she passed away. If this is a normal death of a patient that this is a tragedy because she has a young daughter that nobody has taken care of her. But fortunately, her parents are now taking care of her daughter. Thanks be to God, because the time before she passed away, she has the opportunity to hear about God. And she accepted Christ into her heart. From the time she accepted Christ, she has lived a joyful life. After she accepted the Lord, she showed no sadness, no worry, no fear for the situation she's in, knowing that in the future, there's no cure for her sickness. And she has left her last wish to the family. She wanted to be buried by the Christian tradition. She asked her parents not to idol worship of her body after she died, the usual practice of the Vietnamese tradition of those who do not believe in Christ. On March 29, this actress, Mai Phuong, was buried according to the Christian tradition of the church. During this pandemic time, there was not many people present at her burial, and on the 31st of March, her body was cremated in Saigon or Ho Chi Minh City. I have thought a lot about this actress lately. Since the time she accepted Christ into her heart, she would think about her death and has a wish that she will fulfill the role of being the children of God even when she faced death. This actress, Mai Phuong, has experienced the presence of God in her life ever since she invited Christ into her heart to be Lord and Savior. The important thing for you and me today is not that how long we will live, but how we conduct our life. Our life is not for counting how many people will admire us, but to make our life pleasing to the one who created us. Verse 7 of Psalm 46 reads, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." The word "the Lord Almighty" expresses that God has all the power within His realm. All the authority is in God's hand. He is the reign of the world that He has created. And He reigned in all times throughout history. That powerful God, that God Almighty, is with us. Do you recognize that the presence of God in your life is a great blessing? Just like that actress Mai Phuong has felt the presence of God in her heart. Sila, meaning pause. We come to another sila, or the pause, in the Psalm 46. To examine your life and mine, to see if our life is in God's presence or not. The time that we claim that we believe in God, are those times we truly are living in the presence of God? If we can feel God's presence in our life, then we would know for sure that we are under His control of our life. We are under God's protection for our life, because He is ready to help us in time of trouble. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Dear congregation, have you entered the presence of God yet? The third point we will study together is the power of God. We have heard of the promise of God during the troubling time. We also have heard the presence of God, experienced the presence of God in time of trouble. And now we will consider experience the power of God in time of trouble. In verse 10 of Psalm 46 we read, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Dear congregation, we read in verse 8, "For those who put the trust in the Lord, for those who enter the refuge of God, to come and see the works of the Lord." What do we come to see? It continues in verse 8, "The desolation He has brought on the earth." In the past few days, maybe you have seen some images that people post on the internet. The image expressing the stillness of the place where in the past month there are full of activities. The deadly silence of the city that was bustling before the pandemic starts. That was before crowded in the marketplace with people. Public places where people gather for entertainment. But now it's all desolated. This happened to all the nations, to all bustling city before of the world, just because of this COVID-19 pandemic. This is a terrifying disaster. Would the power of God be enough to fight against this coronavirus? To actually understand the power of God during this time of trouble, then we need to look back at the Old Testament about the story of Job. Job was a God-loving person. God was proud of Job, who told Satan about Job, "Do you see my righteous servant, Job?" Satan said, "That's because you, God, have blessed him. That's why he was a good servant of yours. Because you, God, you gave him plenty of possessions on the earth. How could Job not trust in you, God?" And God said to Satan, "Satan, I allow you to bring destruction to his family, to his possession, to his children, but absolutely you cannot touch him." And immediately Satan went out and bring destruction to the family of Job. Job has 10 children, 7 boys and 3 girls. When they were dining together, the house collapsed and killed all of them. Job has many herds of lamb, cattle, camels, and goats. But his enemies came and stole everything that Job has. He only has his wife left for him. But she bitterly tells Job like this, "Why don't you curse your God and die?" The congregation, in all those situations that Job faced, he did not commit any sin before God. In that situation, Job still trusts in God. Afterward, God met with Satan and said, "Don't you see? God still trusts in me. Job still loves me." Satan said that the skin for the skin, people can use their possession to, they can forfeit their possession to protect their own body. What if you, God, touch his body and cause harm? Then what? God allows Satan to touch his body to harm Job's body, but not to cause death. And then Satan immediately calls Job's body to be like that of a leper, with open sores from head to toes. Job had to sit among the ashes and use a piece of broken glass to scratch his body in a very painful way. But dear congregation, Job still put his trust in God. I wanted to tell the story of Job to let you know that Satan is the god of death. And if our God does not allow, Satan would not bring death to Job. Satan is the one that brings suffering to humankind. But if God only allows Satan to have certain limits, then Satan can only act according to what God allows him to do. The Bible tells us, 2 sparrows were not sold for a penny, and if not by God's will, none of them will fall to the ground. Dear congregation, even the sparrow that was nothing, God still cares for them. And with our lives, God cares even more. Anything that happens right now to us, to his children, wouldn't God know about it? There are some who tell me that, "Oh, dear pastor, I want to live a long life. I don't want to die yet. I want to live to be 120 years old." Because that person has a wonderful life on this earth right now. But we do not know how long we will live. Another person would tell me, "I want
to be away from this world, the sooner the possible to be with God. Because that person is in a situation of loneliness. Nobody is looking after him or her. Even that wish is not doable. If that's our wish, but it's not in God's will, then it will not happen. Our life or end of life is not in our control. It's all in the hands of God. He will decide our fate. In Psalms 139 verse 16 we read, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." God has decided about our life. So why are we worrying right now? Why are there fears still in our heart? We can still enjoy each day that the Lord gives without having to worry about anything. Because if anyone worry, would that extend his life a day longer? So that we don't have to worry about this pandemic or anything that happens around us. I do not say that I will not ever be contracted of the virus. But I can surely say that I will not worry when my life is in the hand of God. The one who created me and has the power over everything that happens to me. Because if God does not allow disaster to happen to you and me, those will not come. And when God's will that allows something to happen, nobody can prevent that. The reason we have peace in God. Peace knowing we rest in God's hands. Because the Bible tells us that all things work together for those who love Him. The Bible did not say that everything good will happen to the believers. But the Word of God tells us that even the good things or the bad things that happen in our lives to be of benefits to those who love the Lord. And I'm asking you, do you believe in the Word of God? Verse 10 says that, "Be still and know that I am God." God is calling out to you and me right in this situation, in this time. During this disaster, during this pandemic, to be still and know that He is the God of glory. The key verse in Psalm 63 says like this, "Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you." Indeed, we are enjoying the love of God, the kind of love that is mysterious and greater even our life. Greater than even our life. Because God created us by His own love. He is protecting you and me by that love. And He continues to care for us by that very love. So then, do we recognize that God still has the power to control this world according to His will? We need to pause. Asila, we all need to pause at this point. We have discussed about God's promise in the troubling time. We have talked about His presence in the time of trouble. And we have talked about His power in this time of trouble. We need to pause. We need to examine our own life to see if we have experienced any kind of power of God upon our life in this time of trouble. And if you and me believe that God still has the power over this world, that God is still in control during this time of pandemic that causes lots of confusion and worries among the people of this world, would you come to God now and say to God that? You say to God that, "God, you are our refuge and strength." Would you allow yourself to come to God to witness the works of the Lord? To be still in front of God, to know that God is the God Almighty. God will be praised, and our lips to glorify God. May the Word of God encourage and comfort us during this time of trouble. Let us pray. Dear our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you, Lord, even though the world is in a topsy-turvy condition, because all that is happening in the world, but we have our God that is never changing. You have created this world. You have given us, you have created our life for you, and you are in control of this world from the beginning of time until now. And we thank you, Lord, for your eyes are looking down on this world, and you see the wicked as well as the good, and you see those who deny you as well as those who accepted you. You still are witnessing those who at this time still deny you, but you also see the soft heart that surrendered to you right in this troubling time. Dear God, please help us to draw near to you, to enter into your refuge, and your power will lift away our fear, but our lips will glorify you. Our lips will praise your name, because your love is greater than the life that you have given each of us. We thank you for the Bible lesson of today. Please guide us and remind us that during this Holy Week, our heart will always turn to you. That you have sent your Son into this world to pay for our sin by dying on the cross. And that your Son has been resurrected so that we can receive everlasting life from you. May we live a life that is worthy of your love. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Holy Week. We are supposed to have a service to commemorate the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ on Friday night. But because of this pandemic, we're not allowed to gather together at the church. So, in the evening of Friday, April the 10th. So there will be a streaming service at 7 p.m. and each one of us can attend from our home. And the Holy Spirit will tie each of us together. We'll have a fellowship with each other in the worship of our Lord, so that we can commemorate the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on Sunday, April the 12th, we will celebrate Easter, the resurrection of our wonderful Lord. And in the current situation, we cannot have communion like before. So I would like to request of each of you, even believers from other churches that are watching this video today, to remind yourself that this Friday, April 10th, at 7 p.m., to prepare the communion food, like a piece of bread or some bread that represent the body of Christ. And also prepare in each family a cup for the representing the blood of Christ, a cup of juice. The quantity of bread and juice will depend on the number who have been baptized in Christ. And remember to gather together at 7 p.m. this Friday. We will meet each other through this video. We will be examining the suffering of the one who loves us, the one who has carried all the curses, all the suffering for us, so that we can be bought by his blood. And we will fellowship with each other in this communion. May God bless you all, and may we see you Friday evening at 7 o'clock Mountain Time. May God bless you all.